once again, let's quickly read from Isaiah chapter 55, which is our text for this series of teachings. And then we'll go to the other ones that are specific to what we want to discuss today. He said in verse 8, or let's start from verse 7 to 55, "Let the wicked forsake his way, let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and the Lord will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Now, this is why we need to return. He said, because the thoughts we are using are not the thoughts of God. He said, neither are the ways these people are walking in the ways of the Lord. That's what the Lord says. He said, for as the heavens are higher, of course, you understand that I paraphrase that verse 8. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, he said, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return empty to me, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. That's verses 7 to 11, Isaiah 55. Now, just to review for a minute what we have been saying about that, we said unrighteousness is known by what? Thoughts. It's a thinking pattern. When you see a group of people, all right, they are misbehaving in relation to what God wants them to do. That is primarily due to the way they think. It's primarily due to the way they see life, the viewpoint. So Paul said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mind refers to how you see things. Mind refers to how you perceive, how you interpret the events of the earth. Yesterday, I was teaching my medical students, and then, you know, I said some things that made them laugh, all right? And it's good that most of my students know that I'm a doctor. So when I say things, they know it's not somebody who doesn't believe in God. I was teaching them about heart failure and all of that. So I explained a principle about why some people say that somebody is pressing them at night, all right? And I said that actually nobody's pressing them. They just have heart failure. You know what I'm saying? So I explained that principle. So I said that, you see, anytime something goes wrong in the mind of an African, the first thing he thinks about is who is responsible. That's the thing. If he's driving and he has an accident, the first thing he thinks about is who is responsible, who led me into an accident. He doesn't think about the fact that he has not been servicing his car regularly. He does not think about the fact that he was over speeding. He does not think about the fact that he's not obeying all the rules. He doesn't think about the fact that maybe the road is bad in that particular spot. The first thing he thinks about is part of African, you know, this superstitious attitude that who is responsible. And you see, as Christians, all right, what God does for us is to retrain our minds. We know nobody is responsible. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, I'm not saying spiritual things don't exist, but we know as believers that nobody is responsible. Are there witches? I don't give a hoot. Maybe they are there, all right? But they are not responsible for the activities of my life. I've been retrained. I've been renewed. I know, I'm not trying to preach, you know, sound nice. I know as a matter of fact, the devil is not responsible for what happens to me, and not any of his small agents who are actually jobless and confused people who are walking in darkness. People who are walking in darkness cannot give direction to me walking in light. Are you getting my point? I've been retrained, all right? It doesn't mean that I don't believe in spiritual things. I just know that because I am in Christ, all right, nobody is responsible. Anything happens, I know there's a plan of God for my life. Anything happens, I know I have to walk in a manner that is pleasing to God so as to ensure that my path is straight before him at all times. That's what I think about first. That's what it means to have your mind renewed. And like I say all the time, I like to say to emphasize to the minds of people, false prophets, and now I want to add another one to it, and ignorant ministers are the ones that sit down and address all their prayers against your enemies. They sit down, address anything they want to do against the people that they perceive as being against you. Are you following my point? All right, that's not right. That's not right. That's either ignorance, absolute ignorance, or the fellow is just blatantly a false prophet who is taking advantage of the African mindset. Do you get my point? Yeah, that's what they do. You take advantage of what? The African mindset. They know that this man expects me to see that there's a witch responsible. And when I see it, he will pay me. Do you get what I'm going to explain? All right, so that's what it means to change our thoughts, all right? We've been looking at that. So let me just remind us of the main thing, actually, that God has thoughts, and what we're doing in this series is the sayings of God. sayings and thinking for God is the same thing, all right? Whatever his spirit brews upon is what utters, what he eventually utters as words. That's how it occurs, all right? So we said God has thoughts, God has sayings, and those thoughts are expressed, like I said, in his words. And righteousness is to accept God's thinking pattern. Righteousness is to see yourself the way God sees you. It is not humility. Paul said that you must learn to think of yourself. You must be careful not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. There's an ought. If you go beyond that, it's bad. If you go below that, it's bad. Do you get my point? If God says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that you have been forgiven, it is wrong for you to go around calling yourself a sinner. Do you follow my point? It's not humility, it's stupidity. There's a world of difference between what? Humility and stupidity. There's a world of difference. Like we said, we don't want to sit on it again. Jeremiah, God said, hey, you're a great prophet. He said, I cannot speak. God said, don't tell me that. God said, oh, such a humble man. Such a humble guy. I tend to do something. He knows he can't do it. He confesses the fact that he can't do it all the time. He said, do not say I'm a youth. Don't repeat your hindrances. So that's what we're talking about, all right? What are the sayings of God? And we have been seeing the fact that God has things, or he has things that he has said about you. There are things he has said about your potential. There are things he has said about what you can do. Like that's what we saw last time. God sees divine ability inside you. Do you get my point? That's what he sees. He does not see a weakling. He does not see somebody who is a non-entity, whose life is beaten and treated anyhow, who is disadvantaged in any form. He doesn't see it. And if God doesn't see that, you must learn to see exactly what he sees. That's the source of victory. Let me just say this to us again quickly. All right? The meaning of the word grace, you know? I think I should change the name of this ministry to Grace Word Ministries because I'm always defining grace. Yes, I'm always defining grace. I gave you some of you an assignment then. Nobody has done it for me. Any definition you see me give for grace, write it somewhere and give it to me. All right? I'm sure by now I have over 100. Do you understand? But it's very important. It's a center. That's the center of Christian life. That's the center of Christian activity. Grace. Grace. What is grace? It's the power of God manifested towards anybody that believes. Grace is not just a unmerited favor. You know, I don't know. This thing just happened. No. That's not what grace is. Grace is that God's power is released towards you because of your faith. Let me say it again. Grace is that God's power is released towards you because of your faith. Grace is that what you could not do, but you accepted that God said it will be done. Therefore, that thing is done because of the power of God working in you. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. What is the grace of God? His power working towards me. We did not prove vain. And it manifested in the fact that I labored, apparently, more than everybody else. But it's not I that was laboring. It was the power of God that was working with me. That's what grace is. I need to say this. You see, I say it all the time in life. There are many methods of doing things. God never said to Adam, you will never succeed in what you do. No. He said, in the sweat of your brows, you will find success. That's what he was saying. You will labor extra hard to produce anything. I was watching this story the other day on CNBC Africa, or Ted Turner, and they're talking about, you know, the titans of industry and all of that. And they analyzed the life of Ted Turner. Ted Turner was married quite a number of times. I can't remember the number of times now. But Ted Turner was a billionaire, all right? There was a time he was worth over $10 billion. When they were analyzing that, it was worth just about $1 point something billion. But Ted Turner had money. But this is the interesting part. He was married many times, not because the women were wicked, but he was not able to be a husband. He said Ted Turner used to work 18 hours a day. You hear what I said? How many hours? 18 hours a day. He built CNN. He was the one that conceived and executed the project called CNN that you know today, Ted Turner, before he sold it to the Time Warner, you know, group. All right? Ted Turner used to work 18 hours a day. The other 6 hours includes the time he sleeps, he eats, he socializes, everything. Do you get my point? 6 hours. He's the one he used to sleep, used to socialize, used to marry the women he married. The last wife I knew, he married before that program. I think the woman was married for like 6 months or 8 or 12 months or so before she just walked away nicely. It was not a small girl, so it wasn't as if she was begging for him, love me, love me, love me. It wasn't a small girl. It was a middle-aged woman, all right? Late middle-aged woman. But I said, oh, this is not life. Because by the time they married, he thought he was retiring. But then something went one way, and the guy returned to business and returned to working 18 hours a day. What am I describing? God said, it's vain for you to rise up early and go to bed late, thereby working 18 hours a day. That whatever you achieve is called the bread of sorrows. And that was what God spoke to Adam. In the sweat of your brows, you will make a billion. You get the principle? He did not say you will never make money. He just said it's what? In the sweat, in the hard labor. I use all of that to explain the word grace. That is the opposite of grace. Grace is when, I have another one for it. I just have another one for it. Grace is when you pray and God answers your prayers. My wife knows what I'm talking about. That's what grace is. Grace is when you use the power of prayer to open business opportunities. Grace is when you use prayer to bring favor in your direction. Grace is when you make prospective, partners wait by the power of prayer because you can't get there on time. Grace is when you fall asleep and you sleep that it is sun beating you on the face that wakes you up next morning. And you're supposed to be in the office by 9. At 10, you were sleeping. Not because you were lazy, but because you were tired. Yet, God puts everything, in waiting until you arrive. That's grace. Grace is when you are not at home when Samuel arrives, but he does not anoint anybody until you show up. And grace is what God wants you to operate by. over the last few days, weeks, teaching along this line, I realized again that God said, exercise yourself in one little thing until I come. Be sure I will come. That's what I want to bring out from there. Do you get my point? Be sure I go show. I will come. Everybody is running and beating themselves and working hard towards that thing. Wait, pray, ask yourself, what has God given me to exercise myself in today? Once you identify that, exercise yourself in it. Listen, those who run in that direction, all right, to achieve things, a time will come. You will look back and see where they are behind. I don't know whether you heard what I said. You didn't get up to move when they did, but you got up to occupy because you knew he was going to come. Yes, most certainly. God said, I will come. I will. I have an appointed time. Go and listen to that our series again. The doctrine of the appointed time. I have an appointed time. And I will come. Do you get my point? Now, that's what God wants believers' lives to be. That's what I want to emphasize. So, now, I'm back to the reason why I said it. How do you run your life based on grace? It's simple. It's the way you think. That's what I'm talking about. And listen, they say, if you want to be a billionaire, think like a billionaire. Forget that one. All right? Whatever you want to be in life, think like God thinks. That's what I want to bring out. Do you get my point? Because you see, when human beings give us all those labor principles, that's why I've told you before. I don't believe some of this new, that this pseudo-spirituality that Christians practice, what I call spiritualism. If you remember, just to help us remember all this we've discussed over the years, I distinguish between spirituality and spiritualism. Spirituality means that we are walking in the spiritual realm that God dictated that we should walk in. We are walking by grace. Do you understand that? But spiritualism, let me explain it, is the exercise, the human exercise of their knowledge of the spiritual realm, of the intangible, that is physically intangible realm, and using that to try and control things on the earth. Spiritualism is not as, what do you say, how do I put it now? It's not as if it's like physics. You use physics, are you getting my point? And you make things, the knowledge of physics, it's called technology. In the same manner, there's a technological way of adapting spiritual laws to suit you. That is not Christianity. That's what I want to explain. Now, listen, I am not saying it is evil. I don't know, you must understand what I'm saying. I am not saying it is Islam. I'm not saying it's Buddhism. I'm just saying it is not Christianity. Therefore, when I want to teach you Christianity, I should not sit down on it. Have you got my point? And like I told you before, one of the ways by which we sit down on it and we think it is spirituality when it is spiritualism is when we tell people, paint that picture, put it on the wall, and look at it every day. It works. I'm not saying it doesn't work, but it's not Christianity. A Muslim does it, he gets it. A Buddhist does it, he gets it. In fact, those who practice Christian Science and Buddhism and stuff like that, that's what they do. What is Christianity? Even though Adam never knew what a wife was supposed to be like, the day he saw her, he knew this is the bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. He never painted a picture of her. He didn't know what she was supposed to look like. What is spirituality? Spirituality is that if I ordained you as David, do you get my point, to be king, even though you don't know that I called you to be a king, one day you will be walking, somebody will shout, David, 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 David. He said, what's happening? He said, Papa said, may I call you? They rush down there, and a prophet gets up and pours oil on your head. And you say, what's that about? He said, you are the next king in Israel. You never conceived it. That's spirituality. Are you getting my point? Spirituality is when you realize that God has promises and you focus your life on obeying the will of God so that his promises might be manifested in your life. Oftentimes, they are beyond that which you ever imagined. You follow the point I'm making? That's what? Spirituality. We must understand that. So this is how we tap into it. We reason, we rearrange, because you see, remember I talked about the power of resonance. Without you rearranging your mind, your thought pattern, into God's thought pattern, that is aligning with it, the power of God can flow through you. Spirituality, that's resonance, is when the if you remember physics, when the natural frequency, all right? How many of you know physics? If you learn the physics, is life, all right? Don't say, me, I'm an art student. It's not like art student. Physics is life. Are you getting my point? Anyway, natural frequency, when the natural frequency of a force acting upon another one, all right? When the frequency of a force acting on another object matches the natural frequency of that object, the amplitude of vibration is seriously, all right, increased. It's called resonance. That is, when God's thoughts and your thoughts, they match, God's power is made available. That's what it says in the resonance of the Spirit. So God's thoughts, all right, God's word expressed, of course, that's his thoughts expressed, is always there. What he's saying is that if the word preached, all right, mixes with faith, what is faith? Aligning their thoughts to agree with what he preached in the hearts of them that heard it, then his power will be made available. We have seen the fact that God says no matter what your background is, matters are different now. In Christ Jesus, things are different. Do you get my point? We have established it, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Last time we saw that God sees, when he sees you, this is thoughts. This is what he sees. He sees the ability that he created, all right? Now, understand this. When God wanted to effect something on the earth, he made a spiritual substance available. Now, listen to this technology I want to describe. Is that okay? Now, so that spiritual substance is called a blessing. Somebody say blessing. Blessing. Say blessing. Blessing. Now, for example, when God wanted to redeem people from death, from destruction, he created a spiritual substance. He now said, how will they get it on the earth? A body that has prepared for me. That is, for the power of Christ to come into the earth, the body called Jesus had to be formed. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, before your body was formed, it wasn't formed just because what we will do now. Say, okay, let two angels go and practice how to make human beings. No. It's that we have a spiritual substance called a blessing. Say, a blessing. A blessing. Which we want to send into the earth. Therefore, you were created. Do you follow my point? I did not invent the messages I'm preaching. I did not. I didn't think them up. God said, some people must hear these words one day, and it must begin from a place called Enugu. So, he made sure I was born. Look, listen. I went to the University of Benin, instead of where I initially wanted to go, University of Ibadan. As a last minute thing, my parents were going to submit my JAMB form, and they just stumbled into my cousin. And they started talking, how are you, how are you? Let's make a long story short. They said, okay, my mother said, we're going to submit this young man's JAMB form. So they said, where is he going? He said, UI. I said, no, let's not go to UI. Ibadan is far. Benin is just right behind here. You know, let's make it long story short. My form appeared back at home. I said, why is it here? He said, no, you have to change some things. What's happening? You are going to University of Benin. It was crucial to God. I went to University of Benin. I don't know the depth of his wisdom and how he did it. But as a matter of fact, that's why I got my spiritual training. Let me summarize it like that. He led me to a fellowship called the Light of Christ Community. And that's where I was trained. I was a medical student too. But forget medical student. Bible student is exactly why we went there. The culture of reading the word of God. The culture of listening to messages. Making the word of faith the focus of your life. That's where I learned it. I didn't come to Enugu by chance. That one is one of the things I'm surest of in life. Because I still remember the day my friends brought up the issue. I wanted to come to Enugu. And I was just talking to one brother one day. And he just started talking about Enugu. He did not know I was considering going there. I have no doubt I was sent here. Do you get my point? What am I saying? God had prepared some things ahead of time. A body was prepared for me. Do you follow the point I'm making? Listen. I told you before, sin is not, you did it, you did not do it. No. Sin is the poison that makes it impossible for Banky to come to Enugu to preach the gospel that he was created to preach. That's what sin is. Do you get my point? Why did I go over that again? That is, when God sees me, he doesn't see a man who's struggling to have money. I may see that. You may see that. I may confuse myself thinking that in this life I must build a house too. Yes. In this life, I must be a professor before this particular age. In this life, me too, I must have enough money to do this. And God says, I don't see that. So anytime I get on my knees and start praying, house, car, promotion, God can't hear me because nobody's talking. I don't know whether you caught that. He can't hear. Nobody's talking. Anytime he looks, he doesn't see anybody there. Because once he hears the answers, he can't hear. Oh, this is my 16th day of fast. Hallelujah. As people are building houses, I must build house. In fact, I need 3 houses. One in Enugu, one in Abuja, and I have to build one near my home so that my people will know that Enugu has been good to me. God can't hear it. He doesn't understand what's wrong with that. Well, that's mass of creature there disturbing the whole. He doesn't know what's going on. But anytime I come back and think thoughts like he does and see myself the way he sees me, and I start praying prayers like, I was created to be a blessing. The whole of heaven is hearing. My words are echoing from one corner to the other. Nobody will rest until something is done. Do you get my point? When I utter words, because I recognize that I'm not an accident. So you see, every time, all right, I begin to speak from a mindset that understands. Do you get my point? Like, I remember then when I first came to Enugu then. When I needed the house, all right? One thing I kept on saying, I mean, we need the house to rent. I didn't pray that, God, I need the house. I remember the prayer. I said, Lord, before I moved down here, you knew I was coming. So you prepared the place that I'm supposed to stay. So where is it? That's the prayer. Where is it? I mean, it must be there. It must be there. It must be there. I mean, didn't think I was coming to stay here and then I'll be in the center of Ogbete. That's not the idea. I mean, where is the house? And eventually the house manifested. Do you understand what I'm explaining? That is, when God sees you, you must know what he's seeing. And like I said, I want to continue from here, all right, from that point. I've not been able to leave this matter of how God sees you. When he looks at you, what does he see? What does he see? One of the greatest things we must understand is that word blessing. When it says you have been blessed to be a blessing, it's one of the greatest things that you must understand. I said something, if you're around on Tuesday, say amen. All right. No, we were not around, but on Tuesday we discussed that. In fact, I think that's the message I'll preach today. That's what I ended up preaching on Tuesday. What's a blessing? And I want to go into that one today. Okay, let me read the scripture and then I'll go back to talking about that blessing. Like I said, God prepared something, a blessing. So what he does is he creates a body to bring that blessing into the earth. That is, the day you were born, a blessing was born. Are you getting my point? Not somebody, not another mouth to feed. A blessing was born. Your very presence is an advantage to the earth. I don't know whether you heard me. You're an advantage. You're an advantage to the earth. That's a matter of fact. That's what God sees. You're an advantage to the earth. You're an advantage. You know, I say it all the time. When Job was going to be tempted, they killed his servants. That's not good. When David sinned, 70,000 people died. That's not good. What I mean is that I swore. I said, God, please, whatever you need me to do, tell me. But please, when you want to kill me, let it be temptation for myself. You ain't killing me as temptation for somebody else. I'm a blessing. Are you getting my point? Yes, I'm important. When he said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. That is, there are people that God, that's what I mean by prophets, there are people that he arranges the events of the earth around them. That's what you are. That's what you are in Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? And like I said on Tuesday, we must learn to see ourselves from that perspective. You go somewhere, you look for a job, they don't employ you, don't feel bad. God, why? Why? This is the 17th application. Why? 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 You're feeling sorry for yourself. No, I feel sorry for them. If you had employed me, your turnover would have gone up by 100% over the next 12 months. Now you did not. You can imagine that Potiphar refused to employ Joseph. Hey! Who will lose? Imagine. You saw the problem that came upon Belshazzar when he refused to employ Daniel. His father was wise. His father employed Daniel. Don't be so. Then when he says, it's our turn, all these old men that have been in government for a long time, you move them out. The old man went to his house. If Daniel was there, he would have told him, boy, they don't drink with that kind of cup. Yes. He would have told him that, Oga, this cup is poisonous. It may be gold outside. Eh? But inside, there is a spiritual substance that kills every infidel. Leave this cup alone. But the guy, Daniel, was at home. He said, I bring those things that my father brought from the temple in Jerusalem. You didn't ask your father, why did he not use it to drink? You should have asked your father. You are feeling tough. Okay. He did not employ Daniel. You saw what happened to him. So that's a Christian's attitude. That's a Christian's attitude. God, they didn't employ me. Well, I guess I'll carry my blessing somewhere else. When Laban went for divination, after that, when Jacob was working for him, Jacob said, I'm leaving. He said, I can't go anywhere. Why can't I go? I have divined that, you know, were it not for you, all this wealth would have gone. It would have never have come in the first place. So appoint for me your wages. What do you want? Ask for anything, but you ain't going anywhere. Any day you are resigning for a place and people are happy to see you go for confession. Find the Reverend Father. Tell him all the evil you have done in your life. You are resigning from a place. And people are happy. Ha. I remember one of my friends. The pharmaceutical company was working for them. He was going to resign. In fact, he resigned. So the person above him, of course, envy day. That was envy. Very glad to see him go. All right. So he was going to leave. He wasn't going to leave. And then the bigger boss, because the company is part of a multinational, and their main headquarters was not in Nigeria. So the bigger boss came from another country and got to know about the gist. Ha! This guy is leaving. They said yes. He has put in his resignation, maybe end of the month. He said, what's wrong with you people? That's what I told the big men in Nigeria. What's wrong with you people? For the last 5-6 years, this guy has when he was a sales rep, he was consistently your best sales rep. Then he became a regional sales manager. He consistently was the best sales manager you had. He's resigning and you are letting him go. Where do you think he's going to? His father's village? He's going to work for one of your competitors.
that you don't let your best man go and work for your competitor. It does not make sense. So he called the man and said, I heard you are resigning. The guy said, yes, sir. He said, why? They discussed. He said, I don't want you to go.